This is a message to Community Radio. Thank you for broadcasting my recordings at the Sydney Palestine rallies. This speech by Professor Peter Slezak was interrupted at the end when the loudspeaker was disconnected, so I asked Peter to send me his notes and I will read his final words at the end. Here is his speech.
Our next and final speaker, Peter Slezak, is an honorary associate and a professor of philosophy at the University of New South Wales. He's a proud anti-Zionist Jewish person whose parents are Holocaust survivors and was on the executive board of APAN for 10 years. He's also an active member of the BDS committee and has traveled many, many times in the West Bank and in Gaza. Please give a very warm welcome to Professor Peter Slezak.
Thank you very much. It's a great privilege for me to join you today, as on every other week for nearly a year now. I'm among very many, perhaps not enough Jews, but very many Jews here and around the world who've been protesting what Israel is doing in our name, actually since 1948. And in that regard, I want to make a shout out to Jews who are here every week with a banner that says Jews against the occupation. And I want to mention the tribute that was paid by a previous speaker to Jews who stand in solidarity. This is very important because, as you would be aware, rallies like this are always smeared and disgustedly described as Jew-hating, anti-Semitic fests. I know anti-Semitism when I see it, and it's not here at this rally ever, and I congratulate you for that. It's in that connection that I understand anti-Semitism, because my mother and grandmother survived World War II in the Nazi Auschwitz extermination camp. Their experience of racism and prejudice is the reason that I stand in solidarity with the Palestinians, because today we are not the victims, we are the perpetrators. My mother actually always asked, why did the world look away from the genocide of the Jews and do nothing? Well, today we know why they remain silent, because we see our government, our media, they look away and do nothing or not enough for the Palestinians. Shame indeed. Prime Minister Albanese and Foreign Minister Penny Wong were slow to even condemn the atrocities and took a long time just to call for a ceasefire. Albanese knows better. In 2014, before he was Prime Minister, he condemned Israel's collective punishment of Palestinians. And in 2002, he said self-defense is not a blank check. We've seen the pictures of Gaza. Entire residential areas, entire cities are reduced to rubble. Where is Albanese's voice and his conscience now? 40,000 Palestinians are killed, mainly women and children, and according to the medical journal Lancet, it may be as many as 140,000. This is obviously, contrary to the bullshit propaganda, this is obviously not targeting Hamas. It's mainly women and children, and it's not hiding behind human shields. Who in their right mind can accept such bullshit? This is what a kind of a sick mind consider when they look at the complete destruction of Gaza. How can that be even thought to be self-defense? There are no Palestinian jets. There are no Palestinian helicopters bombing Israel. There's no Palestinian tanks in the streets of Tel Aviv. And actually, the Australian judge at the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, Hilary Charlesworth, said that Israel's occupation does not qualify as an act of self-defense. And of course, the other Albanese, the wonderful UN Special Rapporteur, Francesca Albanese, she points out, yes, she's a hero and points out that Israel has no right to defend itself against a resistance emanating from the territory it controls under occupation. On the contrary, it's important to say that the Palestinians under international law, under occupation, have the right to resist, including the right to armed resistance. But of course, Penny Wong says there's a need to end the cycle of violence. What cycle of violence? Hamas is not destroying Israeli hospitals, schools and synagogues and entire cities. If Tel Aviv was reduced to rubble like Gaza City or like Shujaiya or Khan Yunis, the world would stop it immediately. It's worth emphasizing, as we would all know, but the general public doesn't seem to understand, Israel has dropped more bombs on Gaza than the Allied bombing in World War II on Dresden, Hamburg, and London combined. In view of the immense tonnage of bombs that are dropped during the Vietnam War, the American academic Noam Chomsky, he said to a war crimes tribunal in 1967, "You don't have to know anything else. With no further information, a person who has not lost his senses must realize that the war is an overwhelming atrocity. That's all you have to know about this current genocide." Every week we chant, as we march, as you know, 2468 error is, Israel is a terror state. But in fact, it's much worse than that. The Jewish American historian Norman Finkelstein has said Israel is a lunatic state. What he means is that 95% of the population supports the atrocities of the assault on Gaza. Most of them think that Israel is not going far enough, using enough force on Gaza, and most of them oppose humanitarian aid to Gaza. Shame. Of course, the war on Gaza, the assault, is not a war, but a cowardly act of terrorism by the most sophisticated military force against a defenseless population. It's important to recognize that the excessive, disproportionate military force against civilians is deliberate. The mass murder is deliberate. It's an official Israeli military policy. It even has a name. It's called the Dahiya Doctrine. Look it up on Google. It's actually an official policy to commit disproportionate civilian murders. The IDF soldiers, of course, video themselves and post it on social media, trashing Palestinian homes, blowing up universities and mosques, running over Palestinian bodies and bulldozing graves. Shame. You would have seen perhaps the doctors testifying after they've come back from Gaza, speaking about the horrors that they've witnessed. One American doctor said, "The bombing that we see doesn't explain children being shot in the head by snipers." He says, "Every day I was there, I saw children shot in the head. This is not an accident. It's deliberate targeting of children. That's murder." Shame. Further evidence of this insanity, the lunacy of this country. 10 Israeli soldiers were actually arrested at the city Teman prison for brutal sexual abuse, which came to light, of the Palestinians. The Israelis rioted in front of the prison to protest not the rapes, but the arrest of the rapists. And Israel parliamentarians have defended the right to sexually assault Palestinian prisoners. After months of Israel's genocide and atrocities on Gaza, the Prime Minister finally called for a ceasefire, sort of. But by their long silence, Albanese and Foreign Minister Penny Wong have been complicit and enabled the immense atrocities amounting to textbook case of genocide on the Palestinians. It's worth mentioning at this point that the ICC has issued arrest warrants, not only for Netanyahu and his cronies, but Australia is the first to refer our leader, Albanese and Wong and others, to the International Criminal Court for their complicity in the war crimes. I'm learning Arabic a little bit, and I don't know how to say too little, too late, elbow, but I know how to say Lau Samacht Raja'an Telhastizi Albanese. If you didn't understand that, speak to one of your friends. We must not neglect, of course, the West Bank. In the horrors of Gaza, the media and the politicians are not paying attention to the immense tragedy in the West Bank, where, of course, there is no Hamas. Just since October 7th, Israeli forces and settlers have killed 632 Palestinians in the West Bank, including 147 children. For years, they have been killing, on an average, 2 children in the West Bank. You can check that in the Defense of Children International records. This is a horror story. Of course, Foreign Minister Penny Wong says that Israeli violence and settlement activity undermines, she says, the prospects for a two-state solution. This is the most awful gaslighting. She must know that the charter of the governing Likud party actually says there will be no Palestinian state between the River Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea. She must know that in January, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu once again rejected out of hand the possibility of a Palestinian state. Most recently, in July, the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, voted overwhelmingly to reject the establishment of a Palestinian state. So much for the peace process and the gaslighting and the deception. And it's worth noting, Hamas has openly recognized the two-state solution based on 67 borders, the international agreement, which includes the acknowledgement of the existence of the State of Israel. Perhaps all of this might warrant immediate sanctioning of Israel by Australia instead of the pious words and rhetoric. And we should recall our ambassador and expel their ambassador. Well, instead of serious action, a few weeks ago, Penny Wong said that the Australian government has imposed financial sanctions and travel bans on 7 Israeli individuals for their involvement in settler violence against Palestinians in the West Bank. That's pathetic. 7 Palestinians just last month. The entire Israeli government is a bunch of terrorists and extremist criminals. They are guilty of immense obscene violence against Palestinians since 1948. In Israel, in the West Bank, there are now over 700,000 Israeli settlers in vast cities. They're all illegal according to international law. Regarding international law, just recently, on the 19th of July, the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, reiterated the illegality of the entire Israel occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. This decision calls for the dismantling of settlements and reparations. The court specifically said that states like Australia should not recognise Israel's unlawful presence in the occupied territory, and nor should they render any assistance in maintaining it. And so far, Australia has done next to nothing. In particular, there are signs here to support the boycott, divestment, sanctions, and that's something that we should all pay attention to. It has now become not just an option, it is now required, according to the International Court of Justice, as something we must do as a matter of our obligation, our legal obligation. It's an imperative. Let me finish by making reference to the important slogan that we all say every week. The slogan, from the river to the sea. This chant is important because it was repeated by the wonderful Senator Fatima Payman in Parliament, and she deserves congratulations for that. But of course, this prompted the Prime Minister, Albanese, to condemn the slogan as very violent and having no place in Australia.
At this point, the microphone was disconnected. So here are Peter's final words. Jewish groups and other apologists for Israel's crimes want to defame and smear us by arguing that the chant calls for the destruction of Israel, that the slogan is anti-Semitic or even a call for genocide, the annihilation of Israel. These are deceitful and absurd smears, but they are the clearest sign that we are winning the cause of justice for Palestine, because we have a weapon that is more powerful than the well-funded propaganda machine of the Israel lobby and its apologists in our media and politics. We have compassion, we have a sense of justice, and we have the truth. In the context when Israel has entrenched its brutal occupation and apartheid, from the river to the sea, it should be obvious that the slogan is a plea for liberation and justice. My Palestinian colleague, Dr. Lara Talur, has pointed out Quote, they ought to listen to the Palestinians who have been articulating liberation as an inclusive project of equal rights for all. She says this liberation means equality for all the inhabitants of the land and the dismantling of the settler colonialism and apartheid regime that exists now. This is the demand for the right of Palestinians to live in dignity and equality in their homeland. The point has been made by the US Palestinian Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, who also said, quote, a call for freedom, human rights, and peaceful coexistence is not a call for death, destruction, or hate. We should also listen to my Palestinian friend Nasser Mashni, president of APAN, the Australian Palestinian Advocacy Network, and also a 3CR broadcaster. I quote his eloquent words. Quote, the call is a vision for shared political reality beyond Israel's current brutal colonial apartheid. It should not be controversial for Palestinians to reject oppression or to aspire for liberation, to live a life in their own homeland, free from Israel's racist system of control. What should be controversial is that the PM is using the words of Palestinians against Palestinians. That's why we say Palestine will be free from the river to the sea for everyone. And if you have a problem with everyone being free because you only want some people to be free, the problem is not the chant. The problem is you. End quote. Peter says, we must have a shared vision for the future of all people of the region, Israelis and Palestinians alike. So we must demand an immediate, permanent end to the Israeli occupation and assault on Gaza, and we must bring the war criminals and their accomplices, like Albanese and Wong, to account in the International Criminal Court. We owe it to the memory of the victims, and we owe it to the future prospects of a just peace. For all the peoples in historic Palestine, that's what we mean when we say, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. So that was Peter Slezak's words. And as he said in his talk, he grew up with his mother saying, why do people turn away